they have trouble getting out of here? How much trouble do they have getting out of here? People that lay down the rocks, how much trouble do they have getting out of here?
Right.
Okay, but if they, before they...
So much, you get stuck in the rock.
It was so much rock.
Oh.
And this chair is heavy, and it's heavy with me.
Which chair? That one or your electric?
My man. Let's get our hymnals and turn to number 140. Number 140 in your hymnals. Home prepared for the saints of Abijah over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll be only happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land of joy, the mighty host of stand. Over in the glory land, I'm on my way to the mansion's fair. Over in the glory land, help me, God's friend, in this glory ship. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angels band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there will be the mighty hosts. In the glory land, what a joyful thought, may the Lord I see. Just in the glory land, and what can it say forever be? Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll go and just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, with blood was on a shattered sea. Just over in the glory land, the sand of Christ was broken. Just over in the glory land.
This big old man. There is pardon in his Christmas love for everyone that stands, for the blood that stained the old rugged cross. What an awful death he died to pardon you and me. All alone in agony he tossed, and a world once lost in sin can now be wholly free by the blood that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his love that paid the awful cost. Oh, souls so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross.
May very well be the last letter that he wrote before his home going. The title of the newsletter is SOS Amazon Dry. As dear brethren in Christ, just a few lines to let you know the news on the Amazon River. Well, we are working in difficult times as the Amazon River is lower than it's ever been. Sandbars and rocks are all in the middle of the river. Many of the places you cannot get into until the river starts to rise in November. And the rain season starts in December. But always there will be lots of sickness and fevers when the river starts to rise. Brother Andrew was here with me, but he went back home to get some papers he lacks. Also, the river is so low he cannot travel until after December. Brethren, about the church expansion, we are working on the roof and other things that have to be done, such as walls and windows. Pray for us, as it is costing more than was expected. Pray for us as we plan to start up a few more works in some small towns on the river. Somebody was asking about his age. It says there, so he says, Brother Andrew was amazed that, as he said, a man 71 still wants to start up more works. But I have good health and am able to take them mountains in the name of the Lord. Brethren, I would like to thank you all for your help and prayers to be able to do what God has put in my heart to do. Pray for us and help us as you can, as the dollar is still falling here, Brother Kenneth and family. So that's amazing. But you know, men of God like that, they die, that's the way they want to die. They want to die, most preachers want to die in the pulpit. And I don't know if I ever told you the story. I was with a preacher friend over down in North Georgia a few years ago, preaching for him, and he says, I want you to listen to a tape. And he listened, as we listened to the tape, it was a preacher that had been preaching, or getting ready to preach.
And he got up, and in the conversation, he said, well, you know, I don't know why.
Talked about how much he loved his wife and children, and just went on. And then there was silence. Then you heard a thud. And what happened was the silence came because he died at that moment. And the thud was that his body fell backwards and hit his head on the choir stand. And that's where he died. Now, naturally, I don't know that I'd want to service like that per se, but you don't enjoy somebody dying. years ago up in Bassett, Virginia, when Dr. Melvin Aiken was up at Faith Baptist Church, and I was still in college. We had a group from our college called the Aletheian Singers. I went to the service to hear. It was on a Friday night, I think. And while we had the service going on, a man started having an attack. And he fell over in the pew. And Dr. Aiken just told the girls to keep on singing. But they called the paramedics and everything else, and he died right there. And so those aren't pleasant things, but they happen. But in Brother Pete's case, I know he died happy. He died happy. That's what he wanted to do. So praise the Lord. Chapter 3. In chapter 3, there are some things, if you're taking notes, there are some things that Solomon says a man should realize in his life. And there are three things that I want to show you, and we'll probably get to two of them tonight. But three things that a man ought to realize. I say man, I mean mankind. But there are three things. Talk to us about those things. Talk is the fact of realizing this very first thing. This is in the first eight verses. He said that man should realize that there are set patterns in life. Set patterns in life. Look at verse 1. You're familiar with these verses. You've probably read them on cards and things like this. But there's a reason why it's written. He said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And then you begin to see a time too. All right, verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And really, what do you say about that? It's Brother Cates' time. Okay? I mean, what do you say? There is a time that God gives us all upon this earth. If you look at life, this is really life. And if you look at the fact of life, what do? You're born. You mature. You try to get a little education. You proceed into life and get married, perhaps. Have children. Work to the bone. Face retirement, retire, hopefully. Maybe get to enjoy retirement years, maybe. Get feeble. Maybe even have to be taken care of like a baby. And then die. Sounds a little concise, doesn't it? But that's actually what life really is. They consider professional sports players, if they reach over 30 years of age, they consider them old. That is because you're physically agile than you are when you get to be 70. Okay. So there gets a place where people hit a peak. Some people, according to the Bible, it seems that the Lord Jesus Christ lived to be the peak years. 33 years is what it's believe that the Lord Jesus. Seventy, the book of Proverbs talks about the allotted time of man. And anything that you get, brother, 1 year over the allotted time. People like Sister Foster, 90 years of age. And she's way past that 70 mark. 70 is a spring chicken as far as she's concerned. We are given opportunity to. At her school, and they were talking about, I don't know, was this a weatherman himself talking, or who was that?
Anyway, there's a conversation going on.
Talking
about the fact that possibly, you know, they're talking about some rumor that Friday might be some snow, and that maybe the Tuesday is going to be some snow, and all this stuff. And her principal said, well, Leo said,
and so, yeah, Leo.
They got talking about, for instance, the fact that we're told that the earth is closest to the sun in the winter, but because we're tilted on the axis, we have winter. Okay? Now, how do we know that? You say, oh, the sun, but the other. Because we sit down. There is a time, too. The old timers that wrote the farmers' almanac were not new to all. They didn't go to school. They didn't get a degree in that stuff. Most of them probably couldn't understand how to pronounce the word meteorologist. But they knew the science. They followed it. They knew the science. They knew about the science. They knew the science by which you what? Plants. And the old timers, the general, all the. All I know is going around high school now. All I know is good. I got pain in the shoulder. And they just, you know, it's those stuff. How you flow oil water? This is scientific stuff we're talking about. And there are certain things in the sky. There's just a nip in the air and everything. Remember Grant's people? Okay. That's funny. There's more truth in the description. Because the old mountain people love that storm of that stuff. And they would not fall into the event. Why? Because God has placed the things of this world in a set pattern. You ever think about we're in a set pattern? I broke that by my life. Our lives are set pattern. From birth to death. And you're just about to make a complete circle. You were brought into this world today, and you had to be diapered, and you had to be bathed, and you had to be cleaned. And there are some people, unfortunately, that go so far again that you have to go to see the nursing home, or whatever you want to call it, and they have to be cleaned from top to bottom. They can't do that anymore. They can take care of themselves anymore. That's true. That's a humiliation. Who really wants that to happen? Which one of us would really say, I want somebody back to me to be here? We don't like that idea, but it may be really exciting. Because you go, when you think of the Bible, I was talking about the Old Testament, especially Israel, we're talking about the glory of Him. You know what I'm talking about? Using that phrase, the glory of Him, the wisdom, the reputation, the represent power and strength, the represent the ability.
Different temperaments. We all have different
is all basically the same as him. Then he goes on to say in verse number 9, what profit hath he that worketh and that where he goeth? Well, you got my buddy, I like to pick on Donald Trump. Or whether you got somebody like Brother Pickles that struggled and sacrificed out his life and caused a mission to it. Whatever a person's done, he asked the question, and whatever part of life, he said, what profit hath he that worketh and that doeth any labor? What did you get out of all your years of work? That's the big thing that he talks about in his book. He's individual. And he said, after you've done all that, what have you got? Well, obviously, we have to know this without adding an eye, that Brother Pegasus was a richer man than Donald Trump ever did. Because it's no telling how many souls have reached the Lord Jesus Christ, and no telling in the Amazon region because of that man. He's a richer man. And I'd be willing to, I wouldn't say he died of abject poverty, I would say that, because I don't understand the situation about him. If he died, I'm sure he wouldn't believe him. But if you die on this trophy, when he passes on, they'll put out $1 million funeral for him to take care of him. They'll be televised on all the stations and everything else. But then I think about John 16, that day, and the rich man died. Mm-hmm. And he buried it. He looked at his eyes and he buried it. Yeah. That brother James, he's in heaven right now rejoicing with the Lord Jesus. And no matter what, I would think I'm sure most of you have looked and still got some of these books over here on the book table, and if you don't have them, you might have them. But think about living in a place like the Amazon. Think about all the evil, parasites, he ever got in his body. You can get out of some of those countries without doing that. And I know here is wonderful service of the Lord that lived in such mission fields, and parasites got in their body and they couldn't get rid of them. And they were sick for the rest of their life. He said, look, when you wait, what are you going to show for us? That's the first master. Verse 10 says, I have seen the tremendous God's ability of the sons of men to be exercised in. You reckon Brother Pegasus went through the veil? Sure he did. You think service of the Lord went through the veil? Sure he did. You know what I mean by service? I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a pastor. We are all servants of the Lord. Now, sometimes servants of the Lord, we have things issued to us, almost like a card, hand of cards, and we look at our hands, so to speak. And not everything is given away, but it's going to be finished. But it's like, you think, why me? Why do I have to do this? What about that old mean rascal down the road that just got up in the water and he's going to be fine? Why do he have to live your life? And there's no answer to that, other than the fact that we do not know what God is for our lives, and that's just the bottom line. We don't know what God is. But we're ready to sit down and talk. And say, well, let's talk to the Lord. Let's find out some stuff. Boy, ain't one of the hardest things in the world is that verse that says, wait on the Lord. I don't like it. I don't really consider myself a patient person. But when it comes to the things of the Lord, everybody's got problems. Patience is difficult. I'm sure going to do that. Another area, so it says, as I've seen the travail shop here at the sins of the gifts, I've been in the name of verse 11. This time, when he's what he's talking about, so how many times, four times, in verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful to his friends in his name. Now, Lord, I sure appreciate you heard this a lot. I have places for people to see the Lord. He said, get your jets on up water. Because it's going to be done when I'm going to be done. I'm going to be done. But now, Lord, wait a minute. No. If it's done in his time, it will be. But if I'm doing my time, I don't want to mess it up everything. Now, I think when we church got married, we had to be married too. I just decided I was going to live with one of the folks in the world. And I was going to fix my wife's breakfast. And I thought, well, let me see what we got, what we work with. So I put scrambled some eggs, and I can't remember everything I put in there, but I did put a couple of these things together. And he asked her, do you have a beans? I'm not a lot of beans. The beans were good.
I don't know that I've ever tried to tell you all that.
But people think that's what you're supposed to do. That's the epitome of, you know, whatever. He said, let's call that something else. Let's talk about the fact. He said, I know that there's no good in them, but by men to rejoice and do good to the God, and also that every man should eat in 1 verse 13 and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is good to God. You know, if you get the light out of all stuff, a blessing. Christians are less likely to have ulcers than unsaved people. Good means young. I heard people make jokes and say, well, when I come back to my next life, I will be doing farming today, and I'm going to be bad. Come this earth. You don't get saved. What are you going to be going to do? Going to hell. Verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be done. If we let God do it, and he does it, we get our hands off. And whatever he does is going to be right and beautiful.
Because I'm living. And I can't think much beyond the
And he says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it should be forever. And in verse 15, that which happened in the past is now, that's the present. And that which is to be, to accept that already has been. Now, when people call that Calvinism, I don't know if you want to that. But bottom line is, in God's mind, the Bible, the Bible talks about full ordination. And whatever, here is the thing that I am so glad. There's part of me sometimes that wants to know the future. Sometimes. But then what I think about it, I'm sure glad I know. Because if I knew the future and knew how all this thing turned out, I might love it. I don't know if you've ever heard of a pastor in a new church in Chicago, Dr. Ernie Mitchell. I listened to that morning when I was in the studio. He said something one time I never forgot because he's got this. He said this, he said, when I got it. He said, I asked the Lord, hey, you asked the Lord something. He said, when I got it, I asked the Lord to let it down.
So
just realize, man, I'm going to take care of this. Now, the inner man will take care of this. Next week, we'll finish up the rest of the chapter because he's talking about, first of all, set patterns. He talked about the world. He talked about the plan. He talked about life. He talks on the simple things. He talks about the fact that, as God has things that have set patterns in life, then God has something that's going to acknowledge. And God is working out and doing things. And if you get everything, you have to get here. And he's going to do everything here. I have to trust him. And if you think about it, when you think about the future, think about the plans that I'm using. You have to trust God. Here's my truth. You have to get no trust in that. Because it's all that's the world. We live by faith and not by faith. But trust in him that he's able to get lost to where we are now. And next week we'll finish the chapter and see how he finishes it all up. Because he's going to realize, he said, man should realize everything. Man should realize ultimate spiritual value. And that's the last one. And that, we'll pick on Mr. Trump again. I submit to you, Mr. Trump, wasted his life. Now that's easy to say without having to do it in the Bible. And he has a great success as far as this earth is concerned, but as far as the spiritual life is concerned, he blessed the God. That man in Luke 16, same one. Well, Mr. Trump wore millions of dollars in all the companies and all the regions. I'm not going to get all the water here. Father, we want to thank you for your love and thank you for your blessings and thank you all for this great man of God, Solomon, has just come right down to where we live. And he's trying to teach us some things about life. And as they say, that some people are so concerned about the sweet down and out, they forget about the nasty now and now. And we live in the nasty now and now. So I pray that you know, let's save the day. The old gospel song from back in the 70s talked about how you lose this day by day. You lose this day by day. So I pray you God's encouragement blessings to strength, strengthen, and support you through the divine word. And we'll bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 306. There is a fountain. 306. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Let's
goes to our office.